Okay, thank you. I'm George Argyros. I'm from University of Athens. And this is joint work with Agelos Kiagias. So what I'm going to talk about is some new attacks that we did against PHP applications. So to introduce you to the problem, I'm going to show you a small challenge. So consider this little piece of PHP code. It just generates a random number using this function empty_rand. And then gets a user supplied input, and if that input is equal to the next number generated, then it executes a user supplied command. So now the question is, would you put this code on your server? Well, if anybody has written any PHP code, will say no thanks, put that code on your server. Okay, my reply is, okay, I'll put it on my server. Can you hack it? And actually, that's a question we will address today. We want to provide practical techniques in order to exploit such vulnerabilities in PHP applications. And the password comes in our attack template. So we focus on attacks on password reset implementations. So our problem is that you forgot your password and you want to change it. So what happens is that the application sends you an email with a secret token. You click on the link with the token and you get the chance to change your password. So what happens is that an attacker is trying to predict the token that will be generated. And if he can predict that token, then he's able to change your password and take over your account. And that's the kind of attacks we will consider here. And so this figures will be our roadmap. So we have some PHP functions that are used to generate password reset tokens, which get seeded by some entropy sources. And we have more or less three classes of attack. We have some entropy reduction attacks that attempts to directly reduce the entropy of these entropy sources. Then we have some seed attacks that try to predict the seed of the pseudorandom number generators, and we have some state recovery attacks. And before going into more detail, I want to tell two things about the functions that generate randomness in PHP. So you have some functions that belong to the PHP core, these are functions that exist in every PHP installation, and we will be concentrating on these functions. And you also have some functions on PHP extensions. Now the problem is that all cryptographic pseudorandom number generators exist only in extensions. And these extensions are not available in every PHP installation. And that's the reason they are not adopted very much by developers. So let's talk a bit about time. So how much entropy there exists in a time measurement? So some trivial facts are the fact that the date HTTP header contains the epoch with its time up to seconds accuracy. So everything up to seconds is leaked to an attacker. And even microseconds have at most 20 bits of entropy. So if you want to guess a target timestamp on the server, you will succeed over 500k requests on average. And the question is, can we do better than 500k? Can we reduce the entropy of microseconds more than 20 bits? And so we developed two algorithms, which I'm not going to go into much detail because of time constraints, but basically the first one, called adversarial time synchronization, basically synchronizes an attacker clock with the target web server's clock using only the date HTTP header and attempts to synchronize up to microseconds accuracy. And the second technique, called request twins, actually approximates the value of a target time generated token using a token for the account of the attacker. So it looks a bit fuzzy, but that's the idea. So we did the following experiment to evaluate these algorithms. We simply put a PHP script to print out the seconds and microseconds and try to predict its output. And these are the results. So some small comments here before we move on. The two algorithms had different advantages. So basically, they are affected both by the CPU speed of the target web server and the round trip time. So the ATS algorithm is more affected by the round trip time, while the request queues algorithm is more affected by the CPU time. But you can see that both of them achieve a pretty good reduction of the entropy of microseconds. So we have the, on average, we can go with request queues on about 10 bits reduction, and ATS performs similarly. So now let's go to see how can we attack a pseudorandom number generator. So the first class of attacks we will see is seed attacks. These are attacks we are trying to recover or predict the seed that is used by the generator. And using these attacks, we will show you how you can predict every pseudorandom number generator in the PHP core. But first, in order to mount these attacks, we will need to interact with newly seeded generators. And to do this, we will need to have the ability to generate fresh processes. So, under the most common PHP installation, which is PHP in Apache web server with PHP running as an Apache module, we created a technique to force the creation of new PHP processes and interact with them for multiple requests. So, for now on, we will assume that we can do that. We can interact with fresh PHP processes. And we'll first see how we can predict the output of the unique ID function, which is basically, both of these functions are basically a linear concurrential generator, but the internals of these functions aren't important right now. So we'll use a side channel leak from a session identifier. So a session identifier in PHP is simply this MD5 sum. It's the client IP address along with a timestamp and an output of the PHP combined LCG. Now notice that if we find a pre-image for this MD5 sum from a fresh PHP process where PHP combined LCG function was just seeded, then we will actually be able to recover the seed and predict all future outputs of this function. So the question is how much entropy there exists in this session identifier. And we were able to show that the entropy is less than 40 bits, and we can actually, using various techniques, drop it to around 30 to 32 bits on average. And even 40 bits of entropy in an MD5 sum can be easily handled by some modest GPU cracking. And by modest, I mean using a $700 GPU. So this technique, by brute forcing this session identifier and obtaining a pre-image for this MD5 sum, we can obtain the seed of PHP combined LCG. And in addition, this seed contains the process identifier of the PHP process handling our requests. So this is another useful thing. And let's move using these same tools to the other two functions that's left in the PHP core. So in order to seed these functions, these generators can be seeded in the application using some functions, the mtsrand and srand functions, but if they are not seeded, then this custom seed is created, which is simply a timestamp along with the process identifier and output of PHP combined LCG. So notice now that using the same session identifier pre-image that we had before and the date HTTP header, we can completely determine the seed generated. So actually, the session identifier pre-image does allow us to attack every pseudorandom number generator in the PHP core system. And moreover, it doesn't require any output from this generator. So you can have an application that generates password reset tokens only for the administrator, don't have any access to any output of this function, and still using a simple session identifier, be able to compromise that application. But the shared entropy sources is not the only problem in this seed. So assume now that we are given an output that depends in some way on rand or empty rand. So this output could be a cryptographic hash or anything. We don't need to be able to invert it. Because the seed is only 32 bits, we can directly brute force all possible seeds and see which one produced the observed output. And if the output is large enough, then this seed will be unique. And this gives us another easy way to attack these functions. And moreover, we can do it offline because we don't exploit any internal structure of the seed, just its size. So we can simply create a rainbow table with all 32-bit seeds and speed up this attack to work in a couple of seconds or a few minutes at the most. So, I hope you're terrified by now. However, there is some hope in his eyes. Yeah, Prezi is fancy. So, Suhosin is a hardening extension for PHP, and it has a lot of features, but basically what's relevant to our talk here is that it replaces the rand function with a machine twister. Machine twister is a generator that is used by empty rand, but with a different state, and also disables the custom seeding for these functions. And moreover, it generates large seeds with entropy from the operating system. So as far as we're concerned, this seed is secure. We weren't able to mount any brute force attack against the seeding of the Suhosin extension. So the question now is, can we still attack these generators? Can we still compromise applications using some attacks on these functions? And this is what will bring us to state recovery attacks. So attacking the seed is now out of the question, but there is something else. All these pseudorandom number generators are linear. So after we observed a large number of outputs, we can recover their internal state. However, it's still not trivial. Also, if we have the complete output, it is very easy, using some linear algebra, to recover the internal state. There are some challenges when we try to apply this in the PHP context. So the first challenge is truncation. The PHP system gives the option to map any 32-bit output of these functions to an output on a user-defined range. So this will truncate some bits from the output. And it may introduce non-linearity to the generator, so it might make it difficult to recover the internal state. So we analyze the way that PHP truncates these numbers, and we find out that you can recover the most significant bits of the original number, but not in all cases. There might be some outputs from which you are not able to recover any bit of the original number. So keep that in mind for now. And another challenge is the process identification. So we are able to interact with the same process for multiple requests, but not for infinite requests. So after a number of requests, the server will shut down the connection. And this is in part to protect against denial of service attacks. So if the server closes the connection before we are able to recover the internal state, then we reconnect back to the server, we might get handled by a different process. And this is something we must tackle in order to mount the state recovery attack. So our technique was to use the session identifier we had from the previous section in order to distinguish between server processes. So in a nutshell, we can obtain a pre-image for a session identifier, and then use that state that we have, which is process specific, and put it on our own server. And then we start again after the server closes the connection. We start again connecting and requesting session identifiers. And we ask, basically, if the next session that produced is the next iteration of the state that we had recovered in our previous connection. And this allows us to find the correct process among all the PHP processes running in the target server. So now that we have the ability to reconnect to the same process and collect the necessary leaks, the question that remains is, how can we recover the internal state from the truncated generators? And that is the truncated rand and the truncated empty rand functions. So the rand implementation is basically OS dependent. It's usually some linear equation modulo a number m. And truncation does introduce non-linearity to this generator. So this problem was studied in the 80s, and it was partially solved by Hastad and Samir. And they created a general framework to solve underdetermined systems of modular linear equations when part of the variables is known. So we have a truncation, but we are able to still recover part of the bits. And I will probably skip this high-level description, but the important thing here is that this is a lattice-based method, and it makes heavy use of the LLL algorithm. So actually we have to pass an input to the LLL algorithm. I will explain what LLL, well, not actually explain, but explain its complexity, and that's the important thing. And we need to pass proportionally an input which is proportionally large to the number of leaks that we need to have in order to recover the internal state. And the problem here is that the public implementation of LLL have a complexity of d to the fifth, where d is, you can think of d as the number of leaks we need. And this actually gives us problems to actually implementing this thing and having it run in a practical time. So now I will go to some implementation experiments with run functions from different operating systems. So here we have some experiments. Okay, so the x-axis is the truncation level, the bits we truncate, and the c-axis is the number of leaks we require to recover the internal state. And the generator here is basically a linear congruential generator, which is, it was used in libc, but in the older days, and it's currently used in Windows and many systems. And actually, the interesting thing is that we can pretty easily recover most of the internal state unless we have extreme levels of truncation. And an important observation we made is that actually there is a sharp threshold in which the algorithm stops working. And this is when we truncate everything but the log n most significant bits. So up to log n level of truncation, we can recover pretty easily and with, you can see, relatively small number of leaks. For a 64-bit generator, we can recover the entire state even if we truncate 58 bits after having 22 or 23 outputs, which is very small. But once we go beyond that point, the algorithm just stops working, which is an interesting problem if you consider it. And we also did some experiments on the generator of glibc. Now the generator of glibc does look like a linear congruential generator, but it has a much larger state. It has a 900-bit state. And that's where the LLL algorithm started giving us much trouble, because in order to recover from a 6-bit truncation, we needed to run the LLL algorithm for like 6 hours. And after 6 bits, our system just ran out of memory. So we weren't able to recover truncated outputs for more like 6 bits of truncation, which is pretty low, and it's lower than what is commonly used in PHP applications. So a summary of this section is that we can pretty easily recover linear congruential generators even with truncation up to extreme levels of truncation. And similar behavior we observe also in the glibc generator. However, the large complexity of the LLL algorithm doesn't allow us to do very good things. And this is also something which is interesting to research more. So now let's move to the empty rand function. So empty rand is simply is a machine twisted generator. It's a GF2-based generator. So it's just this simple linear recurrence which is passed through another linear transformation. And because it's on GF2, the truncation does not actually introduce non-linearity to the generator. So what does this mean is that we are able to express each output bit as a linear equation to the bits of the initial internal state. And now our technique was simple. We just took each output bit and we created a large linear system. But the problem now is, when can we know that this system has a unique solution? We keep adding and adding equations until the system is solved, but when does this system become uniquely solvable? And to have, again, practical attacks in the context of PHP applications, we needed to do this fast, and we needed to do this online. So what we did is that we created an online solver that uses Gaussian elimination. So as we took equations from the server, we add them to the solver, and at some point the solver tells you, we're good, I can uniquely solve the system, and gives you back the internal state. So at that point, you can simply generate a token for the target user's account, and you have the internal state of the generator in order to predict the token that will be generated. So some implementation experiments here too. So the first observation is that the higher the truncation level is, the denser linear systems we get. So when we have all the 32 bits of the original number, the system is really sparse and we can solve it easily. But when we truncate everything but the most significant bit, the system becomes very dense. And if you can recall, we said that we might even lose some outputs because we can't recover any of the bits of the original number. And this tends to make systems much denser than the one we saw here in practice. So the number of equations that we needed to solve the system is largely dependent on the number of bits we truncate. And here we have again some things that might seem weird, because even though, okay, on the x-axis we have the truncation level, so notice that when we have only like the five most significant bits, we need a smaller number of equations than when we have the 20 most significant bits. And in a sense, you can say that some bits are more important in state recovery than others. So the middle bits of the numbers generated by the Mersenne-Twister algorithm does not provide us as much information as the most significant bits does, which is pretty interesting. On the time needed to solve the system, the things are more normal. So actually, we see an improvement on the time taken to solve the system as we get larger and larger portions of the number, but we have some, you know, some weird things here, but they're mostly due to the same fact, because again, some bits are more important than others. So some bits are simply non-useful and they're linearly dependent to others, so the generator just loses time doing Gaussian elimination, which does not add anything. But you can see that even in extreme cases of truncation, which is the most extreme cases that happened in practice, we could recover the internal state in like less than 10 minutes. So now a natural question is, what is the impact of this attack? So we can predict these random number generators even in hardened PHP installation, but what applications are affected? And so there are a very large number of applications that are affected. So we have the MediaWiki application. We have the Joomla, which is currently the most popular PHP application, which is also affected. And this is in the sense of password reset implementations. And we also have the HotCRP application, which is the system used to submit papers in Usenix. And that's how we got our paper accepted, sorry. So, and another thing here, my bet is that in applications that are not so popular as these that we checked, there are, you can see like almost all of them being vulnerable. I have checked some applications that some people use that I know, and almost all of them just uses a PHP core function. So almost all of them are vulnerable. So just I want to mention that we will release all these tools. You can check our website, it's crypto.di.uoa.gr. We haven't released them yet because they're passing some final testing, but we will do in the following days. And now some mitigation. So we reported all these things to the PHP security team, and PHP 5.4 will add extra entropy to the session identifier, which will make our attack on the session identifier infeasible. But however, all the direct brute forcing we did on the seeds of this function is still pretty feasible. And even though you can't directly brute force the session identifier, if an application uses one of these functions that are in the session identifier, for example, unique ID or the LCG value function, then we can still perform the same attacks. And so we suggested that secure seeding should be added to all PRNGs in the PHP core. And they answered that this is an application-specific problem. But I mean, when an application-specific problem affects all applications, how application-specific is it? So that's our position in this matter. And we created a drop-in replacement for any token generator. You can again find it in our website. So to summarize, these attacks affect a very large number of PHP applications, which we believe that makes necessary to add exploit mitigations for these attacks. And as a final note, crypto bugs are becoming more and more popular, and this is in a way because the cost of exploiting traditional memory corruption bugs is becoming more and more high. So crypto bugs, you can find some low-hanging fruits in some popular applications. And in fact, PHP just lets every developer to create his own cryptographic primitives in password reset implementation, which is like the cryptanalyst kindergarten, high school, or I don't know what. So, thanks a lot, and we'll be taking any questions.
I'll go first. Hi, yeah. Ian Goldberg, University of Waterloo. So you mentioned your, I think you called it ATS, where you were able to get microsecond resolution from the... So can you say what advances you did over Stephen Murdoch's method in his hot or not paper?
Okay, I was just informed of this algorithm like yesterday. So I can't tell you for any... I did some search on... approximating microseconds from a web server header, and we didn't find anything in particular, so I don't know any implementation details for this algorithm in order to answer this question.
They're basically binary searches for the step function in the second.
Well, we basically do something similar. We just hit pairs of requests until we hit a microsecond, until we hit a second change, and we try to approximate the space there. So I can discuss it offline, but since I don't know any particular implementation details, you know, I can't answer this question.
Okay, thanks.
Perry Metzger, University of Pennsylvania. Great work, by the way. And I'm not surprised to hear that the PHP people are intransigent. They've refused general security mechanisms in the past, and everyone knows what their reputation is like. Quick question. So you noted that you were actually slowing down when you had more bits in certain circumstances because you had to put in more, because you had to solve more equations, and except you weren't getting information because those were linearly dependent. Have you considered simply pre-calculating which of the bits you care about and throwing away the ones that don't actually add anything so you don't waste time on them?
Yeah, the problem is that because of this truncation mechanism, each time you will get a different system. So it's actually, you can't actually say that this bit will be useless because each time you will get different bits. You can, of course, do something like say, okay, these bits are probably less useful, this range of bits. But it didn't seem necessary because we were already solving the system pretty fast. So we didn't care about it too much. The times were already very practical.